This week on Behind the Lens.
I became a monthly caller to the Sewage and Water Board to try and sweat through this bill, and they'd always tell me not to worry. The translation of not to worry usually is something along the lines of, what's it, STFU?
That's Karen Gabois, lens writer and co-founder, on her travails with the Sewage and Water Board. It's been a long ordeal and a teachable moment, but there may be a resolution of sorts for this particular homeowner. I'm Tom Wright. You're listening to a Thanksgiving edition of Behind the Lens, a podcast by The Lens.
Brought to you by community support. Learn more at support.thelensnola.org.
We'll get to our featured interview in a moment. First, some headlines. The Orleans District Attorney's Office will use the bulk of its city budget increase to hire more prosecutors. The Cantrell administration bumped up the DA's budget by 10%. That's about an extra $600,000 in 2019. According to the mayor's budget proposal, that money was intended for funding the DA's pretrial diversion program. Michael Isaac Stein has more on that at thelensnola.org. Also, the principal of a failing charter school, Harney Academy, has been fired. Ashanta Wyatt told The Lens earlier this month she feared she might lose her job after she questioned board spending. Now, Wyatt alleges her firing during a closed-door executive session last Friday may have violated the state's open meetings law. Education reporter Marta Jusen has that story at thelensnola.org. Longtime readers of The Lens will know the name Karen Gabois. She is a co-founder of this, the city's first nonprofit news site, and she is a homeowner in the Crescent City. In August, Karen published a column titled Lens Reporter's Year in Sewage and Water Board Hell. She describes a gruesome tale of billing problems, unanswered questions, and a water meter buried under the pavement. We have an update to our column this week. First, here's an interview with Karen, recorded in late September.
Well, this really started about 3 years ago for me. I noticed that there had been some cracking on the sidewalk and some depression, you know, in the sidewalk, and was starting to become concerned. It appeared, you know, it wasn't just your regular subsidence. It took me a good few months to figure out whose problem it was, other than my own problem. But what entity was going to take responsibility for it? So I bounced between the Department of Public Works and the Sewage and Water Board until they finally, Mark Jernigan, who was the head of the Department of Public Works at that time, kind of took charge and engaged the Sewage and Water Board, and they came up with a plan to dig up my entire sidewalk, the entire block. Because my street had originally been a canal. It's an intense drainage network underneath my sidewalk.
May I ask, just without a road map to your place, what part of town are we talking?
I'm just right off Carrollton, near the seminary. And, you know, I had been told by old-timers in the neighborhood that used to be a canal. My street was a canal, and so apparently it is a major thoroughfare of water. When they finally did the work, it was intense, and the drainage system had been obstructed and broken up by trees, basically by roots and whatever. So that was replaced, and that in itself was a fun little walking gangplanks back and forth to my house. And funnily enough, when they reinstalled my driveway, they made it a double wide driveway, which you could then drive up my front stairs.
A lot of New Orleanians actually like that sort of opportunity.
If I were going to sell my house, I guess it could have been a selling point. Drive into your living room. So at any rate, it was done, and I was ready to move on with that chapter, and did. without realizing that, in fact, my water meter had been buried. So my water meter was buried for a year.
Under the new concrete.
Yes, under the thing that they had fixed. And it took, I went out there with a pickaxe and a shovel trying to, you know, find it. And then eventually it got revealed. But during that time, I had received a bill for $1,000. Clearly, that was not correct. I'm usually hovering around $120, you know.
And so that's a bill for what, the month?
That was a month, was $1,000. So I immediately called Sugen Water Board, and I never wanted to go on their online portal. I am old-fashioned for certain entities that I don't really, you know, have total faith in. I'd like to get a paper bill. I'd like to mail in a check. And this will come up later in the story. But at any rate, I lodged a complaint about my bill, and at that time, and then it just, I didn't continue to receive large bills. I started receiving these very erratic bills, where sometimes it would be, they owed me money, or I owed them money. It was an erratic situation. So, sort of fast forward, I became a monthly caller to the Sewage and Water Board to try and sort through this bill. And they would always tell me not to worry, which I'll use, you know, using, I can't use the language on the air that, the translation of not to worry usually is something along the lines of, what's it, STFU? So at that point in time, I realized that there was sort of no there, other than really kind and nice people who answer the phone, that there was no there. There was never going to be anyone to answer this, that this was not an existential question, but an actual concrete question. How much do I owe you? How much water have I used? But it was beginning to develop into the more existential question. My meter got replaced. The bill was still wacky. Because I'm a little bit, have a lot of papers around me because of what I do. I made a request to the Sewage and Water Board to send me copies of my bills. And then I promptly misplaced them. And I made another request and they sent me those bills. And my partner said, let's sit down and put these two sets together. Which he did, because then I discovered the pile I'd lost. He merged the two piles, and what I saw was just, you know, comical in the sense that they were generating two different bills. And so in order for me to do my own audit, or for us to do an audit, you would have to have a starting point, which is what is the correct bill, so I can go back here and figure it out. I then requested a third set. Same thing, another figure. So by the time I had been, you know, everyone in this office at the Lens has heard me complain about this. And at one point, I had said to Steve Myers, the editor at that time, we should do a story about these bills. He's like, yeah, you know, so-and-so's doing it and so-and-so's doing it. And I'm thinking, but I hope whoever is doing this story is actually feeling the pain because this is horrible. You know, I'm not always comfortable with, you know, when you live in a city and you experience the city as other residents of the city experience it, you're constantly having in situations that everybody else is in, which is great for you as a journalist because then you have a level of empathy. I'm riding over these same potholes. I'm getting these wacky bills from Sewage and Water Board, and so are you. So in some ways, I felt like I had a responsibility to tell it from a personal perspective rather than saying this is awkward and weird. It's always sort of awkward to put yourself in the story, but I think it's sometimes appropriate. It wasn't something that we talked a lot about here. I think Jed Horn, who does a lot of our opinion piece editing, he was the one that said, really, just tell this story. Usually in your job as a journalist, you find the answer to the question. Like, that's your goal. I'm going to find. And so my answer to the question was, there is no there. It's a shifting sands baseline. I don't know who's to blame for this. Is it technology? Is it training? Is it corruption? Is it? I don't know that answer, and I don't know if we'll get to that answer through more investigation. You know, sometimes the answer is an agency has to be willing to reveal its own dysfunction, and people have to organize their lives to address that dysfunction too.
I am curious if someone is hearing this and says, well, I've got a situation too. I need to do something about it. What are your tips for those people? What can people do to really start taking the reins of a ridiculous water billing situation?
Well, I do want to add, because I had alluded to this at the beginning, after I wrote the piece, I finally signed up for an account online. And I did one final public records request for my bills. And at that point in time, I thought that the bills online would align with the most current public record requests. And they did not. So again, if the bill online is not reflected in the documents that are provided in a public records request, then that's chaos. I mean, a bill is a historical document. Historical documents should not be able to be manipulated. So that's why I end up in this constant state of there's no resolution here until they own the problem. The city council is a governing body here. The city council has a responsibility here. The best line of defense for residents of the city is to go and take their grievances to the city council. You can go to a sewage and water board meeting if you want to be heard before the board of the sewage and water board. I think we have kind of forgotten that after the floods last year, the board of the sewage and water board was reinvigorated. And that is a body that oversees the sewage and water board. So I did appear before the sewage and water board and have had some contact. I loathe to use this expression. They did reach out to me. There has not been a resolution. I mean, because of the access that I have, the privilege that I have, because of the position I have, been able to talk to folks who are highly placed in the agency, and my situation has not been resolved. Now, I'm not trying to push myself to the head of the line, and what I would like to accomplish here is for there to be clarity so other people could find a path to clarity too.
Karen, we last spoke to you late September about this situation. What has happened since late September?
Well, when we last spoke, my bill was confused, and my state of mind was equally confused. I think that I can safely say that there has been some resolution on the part of the Sewage and Water Board, but I don't feel like there's been a resolution on my part, if that makes sense. I was contacted by one of the employees of the Sewage and Water Board who told me that on one of the properties they had resolved that I owed them $185, and on the other property they had determined that they owed me $457. So at that point in time, I felt like, okay, let's just take it and run. Like, let's just close this door. I don't know why and how they arrived at these figures, but I'm going to assume that we've hit the reset button and we can start anew. And then I got another bill. Ooh. So on the property that they had refunded me $457, I received a bill for $235, which is almost double what the bill had been in the past. So I quickly realized that a resolution is not a resolution. It's just another moment in the saga. I was actually trying to look up what the elements of an epic were to see if any of this qualified. I didn't But I do believe there is there's always the character of the fool, and I guess that's me.
So, to be clear, you received this these correspondences, including the latest bill, and but no real explanation of how they were arriving at these figures?
No. They'd sent me a spreadsheet with some numbers highlighted. Uh-huh. But, you know, I could try and take those and somehow overlay it on the stacks of bills I have to see how they arrived at this number. But that seemed like a ton of work. And then, you know, no clear resolution. When I called yesterday to ask about, to mention that the new bill was in fact incorrect, they told me I could come in for a hearing. So I plan to do that in January.
Okay.
So all of this is written in pencil, not in pen. I'm still waiting for a resolution. And I have heard from people who have gone in for these hearings that, they show up with the same computer printout and with limited information.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Well, and for the record, our research department at the Lens has conducted a quick Google of the elements of epics. According to poets.org, elements that typically distinguish epics include superhuman deeds, which you may categorize your effort to try to analyze what's been going on. Fabulous adventures, highly stylized language, and a blending of lyrical and dramatic traditions. I think we have all of these.
Yeah, we have underground.
Essentially.
So, you know, you're in the water, underground.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, but I don't know. I don't see the fool in that list, but I'm sure there's got to be a fool.
Well, that may well be all of us. All right. If this is, in fact, a teachable moment, what's the lesson here?
Well, for me, the lesson is to continue to ask the question, because you can't really assume that any of this is resolved until we figure out what in actuality is the problem. And I don't think the problem has been... at least to my mind, the problem has not been identified, other than it's a problem. So until we can, you know, get to the heart of what was this, human error, software, it doesn't, there is no solution. There is no resolution. There's only an abatement of pain.
Well, I want to thank you for updating us on this. We will organize an airdrop of bottled E. coli free water if we need to. In the meantime, thank you very much and keep us posted.
I shall. Thank you.
That's Karen Gabois. You can catch her column on this issue at the Lens, NOLA.org. And now more than ever, New Orleans needs reliable, transparent journalism. The Lens has been providing this type of reporting for more than 8 years now. But we can't tell these stories without the support of readers like you. So, from now through December 31st, Newsmatch will match your new monthly donation each month of next year. Or they will double your one-time gift, all up to $1,000. Please give today and support your nonprofit news team, The Lens, NOLA.org. For this podcast, I've used some selections from a German composer whose work I found on the Free Music Archive. He goes by the pen name of Dianchi. Not sure what that means, but it's fun music. Not exactly New Orleans music, though, is it? What can we do about that? Do you know any musicians? How about musicians with some original music recordings? Well, if you'd like to hear some of that original music on this podcast, why don't you drop us a line? We'd love to promote great songs and great musicians from right here in New Orleans. Any style will do. Look for the contact page at thelensnola.org or send an email to editor@thelensnola.org. I'm Tom Wright. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. We're very thankful for your support. Behind the Lens.